you don't want to hear something you haven't heard before, now it's time to go home. As I said earlier, for many weeks now, you have sat on the sidelines while I have preached to myself. Never would I have dreamed, after almost 20 years, I would be needing the messages I've been preaching to you so much. And I'm sure some of you may be tired of hearing that. Every day, for too long now, I've just wanted to check out and leave. I can deal with any problem that I can define and deal with it. But the yo-yo experience of these many weeks, your forgiveness, God's forgiveness, that came along long before I forgave myself. But I don't think any of you doubt for a moment that I would die for this church to keep it from harm. We've gone through too much, brought it back from the brink of destruction. And to know that I cautiously choose words, I allowed the positioning of someone who could bring such hurt has caused the temptation every day. Just solve the problem by eliminating yourself. But I'm not a quitter, you know that. And though there is obvious progress that you have seen on the surface, in the core of my being, I'm still wrestling each week with a problem that has almost immediately after we closed the circuit on the whole world and our greatest opportunity came. We've been struggling through this problem. You as a congregation ready to do whatever you have to do, while I have to make the decisions. And each week I'll get up for battle and decide whatever the price, we will go to war, and then there will be presented an opportunity to make compromise. And I feel, and if you're a stranger here and don't know what I'm talking about, that's probably good, because the message will be for whomever wants to listen. But there is that solid core of the congregation that has watched and knows what's going on. And I feel like Chamberlain, who tried to avoid a war and kept negotiating while Europe was being gobbled up. And the devil comes, whatever you view him as, with those thoughts in the dead of the night. Just eliminate the problem. Go. And I am also sure all of you know, you can throw me down on a desert island with nothing but sand, I'll find something to do with the sand. It is not difficult for me to take a one-way ticket anywhere. And all the things that God has blessed me with, I hold them real loose, because no matter where I go, I find a way, with God's help, to make it. And it's always at night. That's why I tell you, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. And don't quit at night when the strength is run out. But I get tempted. And I confronted again something last night, way into the wee hours of the morning. And the temptations pressing in, how easy it would be to come and say, congregation, thanks for your love. But it's time for me to go. And take the problem that is being dealt out to the congregation because of an association I had with me and go. But I had the sense to say, no, that's not the solution. I'm going to stay and see it through, and don't interrupt me because I don't have that much time today. And then the other thing that was bothering me is I couldn't get away from the fact that I am going to preach a message today. I've already preached this year. But I'm going to preach it because it's the only thing that gave me sanity last night. I'll give you three guesses. And you can leave if you don't like knowing what it's going to be. Psalm 84. If there were no other verse in the Bible, I could get by with this one. 5, 6, and 7. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. You want to leave because I can preach this with the floor lights here. It was either leave or return to this principle, which I did. And I'm sure James will stay. He needs it. And there are probably some others. But blessed is the man. I've told you many times what my faith is. Like a circle. Got some solid dots in the middle. I told you one earlier. They get a little more gray as I get out here. What bothers me about the fundamentalists is they know everything about stuff clear out there. I've got some solid dots that I worked out, and I'm working on all of these other things and trying to expand the solid ones. And most of my ministry the last few years has been out here because I didn't need to go back to these things. I never ever thought that I would be preaching these messages to me. I graduated. I'm your pastor. I know these things because I've been through it, and I'm telling you. I never thought I'd need to go back to these and re-examine them. And that's what this message is. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Who passing, and in whose heart, by the way, are the ways of thee. Take a good look at this, because it'll all be covered up in a few minutes. You know the two comedians on Letterman Show? The two famous Las Vegas comedians, they spent the first 15 minutes on his show claiming fame because they had actually seen Gene Scott's blackboard before he started writing on it. In whose heart are the ways of thee, who passing, now your King James will say of them, but I'll deal with that later. Who passing through the valley of Baca. What's Baca mean? The valley of weeping. Make it a well. These kind go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Now you have heard the elements of this message often enough. I totally fail. If it doesn't reach down where you live, and I totally fail if it doesn't reach me in my present personal struggle. Because I haven't attained this yet, though I've preached it every year as one of the seven foundation messages. This word blessed in the Hebrew is not a sometime affair. It is a state of being. Goes beyond happiness, comes closer to the root meaning of the word joy, but it's a perennial condition. It's a state, no qualities of which ever change. Everything around you may change, but this state of blessing is like a fount that keeps flowing. Now, so much of religion is bogged down in what I call destination points. You're going to some experience. So the evangelist who tells you if you walk down that aisle and go through some little recitation, all clouds will be rosy, your pocketbook will expand, you'll be in perfect health, and nothing will ever go wrong for you the rest of your life. How does Schwarzkopf say it? Bovine eschatology, or something like that. BS. I'd like to say what I really am thinking. Crap. Laid on you by the juveniles in religion that have never experienced any real life. We get knocked around in life. And there are periodic moments when we have those epiphanies, as some would call it, of joy. But this verse describes a state of being that cannot be shaken from you, or you cannot be shaken loose from. It's a continual state of being. I told myself last night, I have preached this for years. How come I'm so down right now? Oh, I had a good time yesterday. I don't want to talk about normal life. But as I prepared for today's service, use street term, I just couldn't get it up for this morning. I couldn't come here once again full of defeat. But I want to tell you, lest you think I need this message so much right now, I crossed the hurdle about 4 o'clock this morning as I went back to the principles and made myself ready to come here tried to deliver something to you and the whole world that's listening with suffering beyond what I suffer. And in the realization, though I know this truth, I'm still far distant from it. Because too many things knock me off that pedestal of blessing that this verse is talking about. And blessed is the man. Stay with me. It's a definite article. It's not a blessing that's loosely spread out. Some people treat God like fertilizer. This is a specialty case. Not everybody has it. You don't have to convince me because I know. I didn't have it this morning. But this verse is singling out with the definite article. There are some who have it and some who don't. Blessed is the man. Not everybody has it. Whose strength is in thee? Let me pass over that for a moment. And whose heart are the ways of thee? Who passing through the valley of weeping. I've told you for 20 years that valleys of weeping are part of the trip. And yet, the reason I need this message again today is subconsciously, I'm always saying to myself, except I've had enough, so God's satisfied. Valleys are part of the trip, folks. Except for me. I've had enough. This gray hair's mileage. You'll find out. If you think it's age, when I'm preaching the funeral of most of you, you'll know this is mileage. I've had enough valleys. I'd like you to know, valleys of weeping are part of the trip. I know, because I've been through so many. But I don't have any more. Now, I say that with a twinkle in my eye, but I really never, ever thought that I would confront another valley that would bring me to the brink of even leaving the ministry to which I've given my life. I never really thought that the scar tissue could be cut through so deep that I would be in a valley. I really entertained the thought I couldn't get through it. For whatever reason, as I start my 21st year, and I now know I'm going to anticipate the message, I'm going to make it through. As I've been telling you through your valleys over these years, you'll make it through. But it is important to let Christians know that just because you have made a commitment to God, you have not got an exemption certificate on valleys of weeping. Paul was called to Rome. En route, he was beaten, betrayed, imprisoned, shipwrecked, snake bit, and ends up chained to a Roman legionnaire. And I've stood every year at Christmas until I came to this church. It was my absolute commitment every year at Christmas time, between Christmas and New Year's, to go into that hewn-out cistern 20 feet under the ground and just stand there and look at that rock wall where Paul wrote his last letter to Timothy and try to put my own life in perspective. He had nothing but valleys en route to declaring two-thirds of the New Testament and writing the truth that now is read round the globe until the sun never sets on what he wrote from that little hewn-out cistern in Rome. And I know this theologically, that all these preachers that tell you that when you make a commitment to God or get your faith on an anchor point and start moving toward things larger than yourself, you have no more valleys of weeping, they're full of it. Valleys are part of the trip. Except, I just want it to be theory. You need what I've spent my life learning. And you need me not to be distracted with valleys so I can teach you how to go through your valleys. Get up here with me. I haven't got enough time. Unless you get up here with me, I can't move forward. Hey, I'm not the only sinner here. I grew up in church where self-righteous, critical Christians sit with the ugly look on their face and nod their head and shovel the message over their shoulder to somebody else. How many of you started 1995? You lucky ones that weren't in a valley on January 1st. I was one of the lucky ones. Man, I was happy January 1st. I had plans. This would be my greatest year. So I was not in the valley on January 1st. This message would have fallen on dead ears for me. How many of you lucky ones on January 1st were not in the valley? Well, they're the minority. Hold them up again. I've got to look to find them. Well, now how many of you that were not in the valley on January 1st are still up there on the mountaintop and haven't had a problem since? Let me see your hand. What a thought. Zero. And how many of you were nutty enough to think on January, this will be the year I have no valley? I got both hands up. What this verse says is the faith walk. Call it what you want to call it. This is a Christian church. The Christian trip is exactly that. It's a trip. It's a journey. I read a verse very late last night. Strange passage out of the Old Testament. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. And the word fear is in the sense of awe and respect and a sense of need. Fear doesn't quite translate it. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. I was too comfortable in January. Another strange verse says concerning an Old Testament body of people, they have not been emptied from vessel to vessel. In the winemaking process, you pour the liquid from vessel to vessel and leave the bad sediment behind until a purer wine comes forth. They've not been emptied from vessel to vessel. Therefore, their least, LWS, sediment, is still in them. Their taste is not good. Change is built in to the walk with God because we are in process and passing, gets at that word. Christianity is not a set of destinations, not an achievement of the hypocritical self-righteous who, I'm here and my job is to get the rest of you up where I'm at. We're on a journey. And we need to be more aware of the fact the distance between where we are and God and His purpose for us and the distance between us and somebody else that's stumbling along the way. It's a journey. I wanted to camp out in January. I now know I needed some emptying. I needed some change. Don't like it. But it's part of the trip, folks. And just because you're in your journey in the valley of weeping, be gone with those that come along with the club and hit you with your conscience. What did I do? This is what I had to labor with. And oh God, have I been comforted with the knowledge that Jesus chose 12 and one of them was a Judas. But always, if you've got a conscience, when you get into some valley, and James, don't you even hear it. What did I do wrong? Why has this befallen me? And the shame is, you know, we coined some phrases the other day about the BASs and the BITs, how BASs always seem to get surrounded by good people, and BITs always seem to have a circle of good people around them. And even God can't get BASs and BITs together who really deserve each other. You follow that code that matriculates me through FCC regulations? It's amazing how good people are so prone to blame themselves and turn their 2% into 100%. And indecent, self-centered people are prone to turn their 98%, 99%, even 100% blame into zero. Well, the same in your walk with God. That's why I think God chooses some people. Satan finds it very easy to accuse the brethren, to use biblical phrases. When something goes wrong in my life, my first question is, oops, where did I get off the track? And man, does the conscience love to pummel you. I'm in this valley of weeping because of thus, and so, and that. And if you let that go, you'll beat yourself to death in the valley. Turn it into a crying jag, build a permanent cathedral to tears, and stay there and die. Or if you're innocent. I've been in this place, but my problem recently is I know I'm blamed for some of my problems. So I've been beating on myself. But the other side of the coin is if you're innocent. Some of you are in a problem. You didn't do a damn thing. Circumstances just descended. And you haven't been doing anything but the best and the right that you can do. Oh, man. How that evil force loves to jump on the other shoulder and say, see, you're innocent. Trying to serve God, why would you serve a God that would do this to you? And you'll beat yourself to death in self-pity because you're so innocent. Look, valleys of weeping are part of the journey. But blessed men go through. I've been saying this to you for 20 years. God, help me to hear it today. It doesn't matter what the cause is. If you're to blame, commit it in an hour of repentance and say, okay, I just knocked myself out. But be done with it. You can't say it anymore. God, help me to not say it to you anymore. I bleeped up. Don't know any other way to bleep except up. I have to give some notebook work for the fundamentalists who listen. They'll go to their bleep dictionary on Scott now and say, which one is that? And I just want to tell them that I had something else in mind in spite of what they thought of when I said that. Sidebar. For my secret audience. The ones the girls have been hooking of late. The fundamentalists really like our network now. They don't have to go to those other... Thank God I haven't lost my sense of humor in spite of everything. It doesn't matter if we're to blame. There is a point where we accept the promise of God, hang our body on it, bless men, go through. You go through the valley. Quit beating on yourself. It doesn't matter if you're innocent. So what? The promise says, bless men, go through. You get through that valley. It's not going to kill us. Well, my valley's been so long. I don't think I'm ever going to get out. There's not one word about how long the valley is. Maybe it's one step. Maybe you've been bleeding for years, like the woman with the issue of blood. Her faith finally pressed through, and she touched him. And he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Don't lose your grip. Whether you can go over the valley in a step, or it's an agony of duration beyond we think our capacity, the promise is, blessed men go through. And their state of blessing is not destroyed by the valley. They not only go through, they turn it into a place of springs. The King James has it. They make it to become a place of wells. They use the word wells, but the original is springs. And then the phrase says, the rain cometh and covereth the pools. The water's already there before the rain comes. I used to read this verse in my youth and think, okay, if I just hang on, God will send some rain to get me out of this valley, some miracle deliverance. Well, he never did. He never did. I went back to the Hebrew. The blessed man transforms the valley. He turns it into a place of springs. And when the rain comes, thank God when it comes, but you don't need the rain because it says the rain covereth the pools. The water's already flowing. There's some kind of strength that enables this particular man with this particular blessing to pass through his valley
and to literally transform that valley into a place that can bless others. I wish I could say to you, as your pastor today, that that's my automatic ability. And bring on the valleys, one a day, so I can show off my ability to turn it into a place of springs until you'd hang around waiting for my next valley so I could produce the spring for you to drink from. But I ain't there yet. I don't think I ever will be. I'd just like to come to it a little faster. As I preached last Sunday on David, when he had nothing but snaggletooth, debtors, discontents, and troubled, and was fleeing for his life, he could pen that wonderful psalm, full of joy and hope and strength. And in his old age, because Absalom had gotten into his heart and had become an Achilles' heel, with Barzillai the Gileadite and that old story, and Ittai the Philistine, even heathen on his side, and thousands who loved him enough that they said to him, "You don't even go to battle, David. If we lose you, we've lost everything. If 10,000 of us fall, you can still make it." With all of that, he still didn't have it in him to get up to fight Absalom, the joy of his life. But he had the good sense to go back to Mahanaim, that spot that Jacob had named, where there were two hosts, God's army as well as the natural army, to help him win the battle. To you that were here last Sunday, the point I was making is he at least knew where to go to get his strength. I take comfort. Why could I preach this message when I was just starting out? My valleys were not deep enough to stub a toe on by comparison to now. And I could really preach this message. The test was about like stepping over these footlights. And now, I've been in a valley I can't seem to get out of. And every day I think, the only solution is to run. But I've come back to that principle, and I want you back to it if you need this message today. Blessed men can go through their valleys, will go through them. Blessed men can attain a strength state where they actually transform the valley itself into an overflow that brings blessing to others. By the way, they treat their valley. Hey, I got a simple illustration. There's not any heart in any of you if you weren't touched with James' smile as well as his tears, because he's a strong man, as he stood here today and reached out to you his love for the sharing that went on as he was in his valley. You can turn your valley into a place of springs. Before he went into the hospital thinking he would have open heart surgery, he made sure he took care of his commitments that he had made to the church before he went in. I've seen it by the thousands in this congregation as you've listened to God's Word and turned your valleys into places of springs. Be patient. As I use the same Word of God to go through my valley. F.E. Meyer used to say, try breathing out 3 times. He'd make his congregation do it. Try breathing out 3 times before you breathe in once. I've breathed out a lot of years.
Thank you for being patient while I breathe in the truths anew to me that I've tried to faithfully communicate to you. So I ask the question of myself this morning again. How can this be? What's the secret of this blessed man? Very simple. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. You know the word Uzi in the Hebrew. It is an implant, if you will, a gift of God's own strength to those that trust Him. When I came to town, I said to the church, you've lost your faith. You ought to change the name. Because the church at that time was named Faith Center. I came with two objectives, to return the church to faith. I guess that's why the forces of evil want to shake mine. Because I got to keep the faith too. I've asked you probably 1,000 times, what do you want from your lover? What do you want from your friend? What do you want from your children? Your wife or your husband? Perfection or trust? You know the answer. I've asked you 1,000 times, the answer is always the same. You want trust. You're closer to God's heart than you'll ever be. That's what God's been looking for. Whether you believe it myth or reality, I believe it to be true. Adam and Eve trusted Satan, wouldn't trust God. And through the centuries, God has been looking for people that will trust Him. About every 400 years, God raises up somebody in the history of the church to return the message from legalism to faith. God's got perfection batting its wings all around Him. He can speak that into existence. He gave something with great risk, and I don't care how many lists of sin you want to find, sin in essence is misuse of freedom. God loves something that only freedom can provide, trust and love, that He risked the misuse of it. He hungers for one thing He cannot create. Those with the option and freedom to do otherwise who will trust Him. And if you look at yourself, you want the same. And to those that will trust Him and keep trusting Him, He puts in us. Oh, I know the born-again Christians talking all their rules and regulations and formulas and recitations. The born-again experience is simply a recreation. If you believe God spoke and not a thing became everything, then what's so mysterious about God putting an implant of His life in us? I'm not a mystic, but God's promise says when we trust Him, He puts some life in us. That's why I tell you, come to this church, you don't have to change. But I'm also telling you, you listen long enough, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You start trusting God, He'll put some life in you that'll change you, and you'll be less aware of it than anybody else. You'll be changed in His image, not the image of other Christians that want to cookie-cut you into their shape. Reality. And that's what this word talks about. A deposit of God's own strength in us. An enhancement of the image of God in man. I don't know the mystery. I just know that the promise is, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Whose source of strength comes from God and His presence, rather than the things around you. I sort of shoved it out of my brain this morning, about 4 o'clock, and I recited that wonderful song to myself about 7 or 8 times. Lord, Thou knowest my down sittings and mine uprisings. See, once I settled the resurrection, God became very personal to me.
I remember closing the book and saying, well, now what's my next move? He gave a promise. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I told you hundreds of times the difference between Elijah, the giant of the Old Testament, and others. When Elijah showed up, they thought about God and would give good creed. The Lord God of Israel liveth. Elijah would say, the Lord God of Israel liveth, in whose presence I stand. That concept of invisible personage with him. An invisible presence within. Nothing mystical. Reality. God is here by promise once you settle the resurrection matter. So I recited this word of promise. Lord, because he's very personal to me, thou knowest, but anybody else does or not, my down sittings as well as mine uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts far off. Oh, how we cry out in our trouble for somebody that will understand. And I talk to people sometimes and see their eyeballs just revolve. I know they're looking the other way. God, you don't have to work at it. Thou understandest my thoughts, self-criticisms, self-judgments, senses of failure, fears. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path. You draw a circle around me as well as everybody else. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my thoughts. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely this darkness will cover me, even the night about me will be light. For the day and the night are alike to thee. And it's settled in again. He's with me. In the valley, out of the valley, I've come this far. Oh, I've told you many times, I think I've caught God finally and He isn't going to come through and I'm free. He's always there. I preached a sermon here once. Paul's words in that storm. When all hope was lost, then the word of the Lord came. Why is He always late? A God who dwells in eternity with no time, He doesn't understand our need of a watch. He's always late or early. Never on time from my view until I look back. Always on time. That's the source of strength. And I, four this morning, said, you know, what's new? God hasn't changed. It's like Gideon and the Midianites. God hadn't changed. He's still in the vineyard. His view of God and his vocabulary of doubt was ditched, and he made his peace with God there. Why doesn't God tell me what's going to happen a month from now? As thy days, so shall thy strength be. All these promises I've preached to you for 20 years, God, I didn't know I'd need them so bad. How many of you need them? That makes me feel better. Not because you're in misery with me, but because... Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. If that's your source of strength, he doesn't change. He's with us. He's seen us through every valley. Hang on to him. He'll see you through. Second, the King James says, blessed is the man whose heart are the ways of them. No. The verb relates back to thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Blessed is the man in whose heart are the ways of thee. God's ways are to develop us. Hebrews 12 says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. I don't like that word. The word in the Greek is paideia. It means to child train or to coach. You make somebody box one round before they box 15. They shouldn't let that poor man in the ring last night with the... God would never have let him in there with Tyson. God trains us. I've been here 20 years as pastor to graduate into ease and comfort. That was my plan. I feel sorry for the next person that takes me on when I get through this valley. Because, it is God's way to train us. Remember, whatever you may believe about the cross of Jesus Christ, it was the toughest test, and it came at the end of his ministry. Everything got him ready for it. There is something about Christian preaching that makes all of us think, in the traditional frame, there's some kind of crying jag, praying jag, anointment jag, blow on your jag, hit you with a coat jag, knock you down jag, that you will never have another problem. And it'll get easier. Cheer up, saints. It's going to get worse. But we're going to be tougher, because the ways of God are to train us by taking us through these valleys. And these kind go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. I guess God knew I was getting soft, and he wanted to toughen me up. I'm getting there. And I believe it this morning, and I ain't about to run, and I hope I helped you believe it. Blessed men go through their valleys, can change their valleys, go from strength to strength, because their strength is in God's presence and in the knowledge that God's with you in the valley, and he's your strength, and he knows what he's doing. It's just a little training process, folks. We'll get through it, so we'll be ready for the next one, which will be a little worse. And that's my message for you today. We take two offerings here, you know that. So it's offering time again. I hope you'll be watching and listening this week. What was that about? We take two offerings here. And, I hope you'll be watching and listening this week. I don't know where I will be. As you know, it's the World Championships in Louisville this week, whether I'll be here or there, part of the week or whole week. But if I'm gone, I'll be talking to you by remote. So stand by me and stand by this work as we continue to move forward. I want the song as we close that Buffy St. Marie wrote for this church, before it ever became an Academy Award winner, up where we belong. Keep pressing on, folks. I'm going to make it, and you're going to make it. And that's the message I delivered to you today. Sing it.